I usually don't start with a disclaimer on sermons, but I'm going to this morning for a minute. We're starting a new series called The Joy of Worship, and so we're going to talk today and again in a couple of weeks on worship. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks discussing some things that deal with our worship and things we do. Today, we're going to talk about a God who's worthy of worship. Next week, we're going to talk about the joy of singing. And I am excited about next week's lesson and time that we'll have together. In 2 weeks, we'll talk about connecting with God and how we can prepare ourselves for that. The joy of giving. Now, I know a lot of folks may look at that and they'll go, I didn't know there was joy in giving, but there is, and we're going to talk about that, and the joy of communion. So I'm excited about these, and my disclaimer is today, as we kick this off, is I want to be very careful because this is one of those sermons that I've spent the week praying about, saying, Lord, let me speak what you want me to speak, what the Bible teaches, what you want said, but also let everybody still like me when we're done, all right? Because we're going to probably spend a little time today that will go from preaching to maybe meddling a little bit, if you want to call it that way for a second. Now, just to give you an idea, as we talk about worship this morning and a God who is worthy of worship, we should be doing things God's way when it comes to worship. What God thinks of worship is more important than what we think of worship. That makes sense, doesn't it? He's the one we're trying to please. So when I was a young kiddo, small, my dad, I remember specifically the day, my dad said, I'd ask him, I said, is there some things that I can do that you can pay me? I want a little bit of money, and do you have some chores that I could do? And he said, yes, I've got two or three. And he lined out exactly what he wanted done. And he left for work, and he said, I'll check it when I get back in tonight at 6. And I said, great, that sounds good. Thank you for allowing me to work for you a little bit. Thank you for allowing me to do this. During the day, my older sister, and some of you have older sisters like this, right? There's always one in the family who feels like when mom and dad are gone, they are officially in charge. Do y'all have one of those, right? I see some of you smiling really big. And if you're sitting there going, I'm not sure who that is, it's probably you. You're probably the one. There's always a bossy one in the family. And we had one of those. And during the day, she took those chores that my dad had told me to do. And she had told me, this is really what he wants. And she kind of changed a few little items in there. And because she was the older sister and because she was bossy, I did what she said. When dad came in at 6 o'clock, he said, his first question after I showed him everything, he said, why did you not do it like I asked you to? And I said, well, because Mona Lee said that it should be done this way. That is what I'm supposed to do. And he said, who are you working for? And I thought, that's a good question. I'm working for you. And he said, don't you think you ought to do it the way of the guy who asked you to do it? And I said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And he was trying to explain to me. He said, who are you trying to please on this job? And he said, I said, that would be you. I want you to be happy with what I've done. He said, exactly. When I give you a job that I want done a specific way, I want it done that way. Don't let anybody change what I've told you to do. Now, I want to take that for a second. I want to apply it for a minute to the way we do worship for a second, and many things that apply to worship, if I can do that. So when it comes to worship, sometimes we come in and we go, I know what God says about worship, but I really like my worship this way. Or somebody will come along and go, but can't we also, when it comes to worship, do this and this and this? And all I want to say is I want to ask and go, shouldn't we do worship the way God has asked us to do worship? Shouldn't we strive to please the guy that said, the God that has told us, this is the way I want it, the one we're working for? So when you take all of that into understanding, I think we have to ask ourselves, is God pleased with our worship? And while generally we would talk about the church as a whole, I'm not talking about that. I want to speak to you as an individual this morning. Is God pleased with your worship? Is God pleased with the way you are doing worship? Not as a church, but as an individual. Is God happy with the things that we're doing? Now, what we tend to do is we tend to oftentimes judge what we do on Sunday mornings by did I like services today? That's generally what we do. Did I like the singing? Did I like the song selections? Did I like the person doing the, was communion taught good? Did I get anything out of it? And what I want us to do today is I want us to really work hard to get our concept, our mind fixed on, it's not what I like, it's what God likes. I want us to change for a second where we're coming from in leaving. Instead of coming every Sunday and going, man, I really like that, I got a lot out of it. That's good that you did, and we're glad that you did. But I want to change the concept that what we do is we think to ourselves, I'm here for God today, and I'm here for worship today. And it's not about what I like or don't like. It's about God. So the first thing I want you to catch on your handout before we even start looking at our text, I want you to catch that the fact that the word worship comes from the word worthyship. Does that make sense? The word worship means someone who is worthy of praising. And you look at this point here and you're going, well, that's God. There's not anybody in here that's going to disagree with me that we're not talking about God. And yet, I think we know that he's amazing and he's giving and he's loving and he's faithful. But I think sometimes we get so comfortable with that. We take that for granted so much that we become a little lazy in our worship. That sometimes we get so used to God being so good that we get just a little lax when it comes to maybe our singing, our bowing down of our lives to him. God has always been a put me first God. God has always been about worship, that it's about me and not about you. Think about this for a second. All the way back to the book of Genesis, we learned that God said, when you come before me in worship, you bring me your best. Oftentimes that was called first fruits. And so if someone was coming to place a sacrifice on the altar, they would bring their first fruits, the best that they had from the first part. That meant as I am harvesting my stuff, I don't wait till the end and go, all right, there's enough for God. It starts with God up front. You bring me your best up front. If you were into not agriculture, but maybe you were into farming, or maybe you were into the ranching side of it, maybe you had animals, with God, it was about, hey, you bring me your best sacrifice. You bring me the one that is the very best. And nothing changes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That's what I want you to understand. God hasn't all of a sudden decided in the New Testament, all right, I'm not concerned with worship anymore. You no longer have to bring me your best. I am okay with leftovers. Nowhere are we told that. The same God that said, bring me your best in the old is the same God that says, bring me your best in the new covenant. And worship is a serious issue to God. Serious. No one here thinks that God isn't worthy of worship. We just don't want to get comfortable with his worship. We don't want to get comfortable in our singing and everything else. So turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. You're going, really? Malachi? Where is Malachi? Go to Matthew 1 and back up about two pages, all right? Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And you go, why are we going to Malachi? Because this is the perfect example of some people who had got lax in their sacrifices and their worship to God. This is where Malachi chapter 1, where God's going to go, hey, I don't want you to give me your leftovers. I want you to give me your best. So look with me for a second. We'll start in verse 6. The Lord God said this. The Lord God of heaven's armies tells the priests, those are the ones who are in charge of worship, a son honors his father, a servant respects his master. And if I am your father and your master and you are Lord, where is the honor and respect that I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. I would never want God to say that about me or about us, that we're showing contempt for God's name. And the people say the same thing. Notice here in verse 6, the middle, but you ask, how have we shown contempt? Verse 7, you have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. How have we done that? Notice down here, you defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. You give blind animals as sacrifice. Isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving those gifts to your governors and see how pleased they are with them. God goes, hey, when you have the most honorable people in your home, try giving them your moldy bread or your cheese that's got mold on it. You know, here, eat some of this. Try feeding them you're going to feed them your best. God goes, why are you not giving me your best? And he continues, go ahead, beg God for mercy. But when you bring that kind of offering, he will show you any favor at all? The Lord of heaven's army says. Verse 10 is a scary verse. How I wish one of you would just shut the temple doors so that none of these worthless sacrifices could be offered. Wow. And he goes on. Did you catch the part where God goes, why are you asking me for blessings and mercy? And then you're bringing me your second best? Why would I bless you, and why would I give you what you ask when you're not giving me your best? And you look at that, and I look at that, and we go, whew, glad I don't offer sacrifices anymore, right? Yet you do. And yet you have today. You came here this morning, and you sang. And Hebrews chapter 12 says that you're singing. The fruit of your lips is sacrifices to God. And so I'll ask, did you think about the things that we were singing this morning? Did you sing those things to God saying, yes, God, you're a great God? Or did you sit there and go, I really don't know this song. I wish we'd have sang something else. Did you make it about him or about you? Because what God doesn't want is leftovers. And you sacrifice this week, Hebrews again 12 tells you that not just the fruit of your lips, but the works of your hands, the things that you did to serve other people, were sacrifices to God. And you go down the list, and we're still offering lots of sacrifices to God today. Can we compare ourselves with these people? Oh, yes. Let me put it this way for a second. Everyone worships something. You just get to decide what it is. Everybody worships something. You just get to decide what it is. Let me give you some things that some people worship. Can I do that? Some people worship their families. Their families come first. Some people worship themselves. It's about me. Some people worship their sports or their kids' sports. I like sports. I like when my kids played sports. But there are a lot of people who worship sports more than they worship God. Think about this for a second. We teach our kids from a young age to love sports and to love our team, whatever our team is. And we know game day is coming. We've spent the week talking about, hey, Saturday at 2, the big game is on. Don't make any plans. And you get up on Saturday morning and you put on the whatever shirt that it is to represent your team, or the jersey or the big foam finger or whatever it is, and you're there for kickoff and you're ready to go, or tip off if you're a basketball fan, because sports is what you love and you want your kids to love it too. And we teach our children before they can even say words to say things like woo pig suey or reckum tech. And they learn how to give the guns up salute or the tomahawk chop if you're a Braves fan, long before they even know how to bow their head and pray a prayer at the dinner table or at the bedtime. They can tell you more about the team that you follow than they can about John 3:16 or the Lord's Prayer. So don't tell me that there's not people that don't worship sports. We worship material things and our comforts and our careers, our phones. You just go right down the list. We all worship something. The question is where do you spend your time? That's how you figure out what you worship. What do you spend most of your week doing? Where do you spend most of your money? What do you talk about and think about the most? If it's Friday night football that you talk about before services and after services, that may tell you something about what you're worshiping. God says, honor the Lord, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, Psalm 92 and verse 2. Second thing I want you to catch, and this is your main point that I want you to get. If you leave here today and you catch this point, that's the most important thing. The second thing is worship is all about God and none about us. It is all about God and none about us. I'm going to say that one more time. Worship is all about God and none about us. And there is a big difference between coming to church and coming to worship. And I want us, and I want you to help me work on my language, my vocabulary, because I want to be a person that quits using the phrase, we're going to church, because that's really, really bad theology. The church is who we are. We're going to worship. And I'm kind of like you. It's easy to go, hey, tomorrow we're going to church. And we get this philosophy in our head that church is just something that you do. It's a punch card. I did it for the week. I've gone to church. When really church is about worshiping God. Do you remember the old days back when you were a kid? You get up on Sunday morning and you'd put on your, what kind of clothes you put on to go to, you'd put on your church clothes, right? And when you come home from church, before you go outside, mom and dad, they go, ooh, don't you go outside in those clothes. You go put on your play clothes. Very well. So on Monday mornings, if you had school, you'd get up and put on your school clothes. And we have this philosophy that church is something you go do. When church is what we are, worship is what we do. And so I would love to be the person who is better at saying, we're coming to worship today. Because that is what we're doing. That we would start early in the week telling our kids and our grandkids, I'm so excited. Much like we're talking about the big game on Saturday or two, I'm so excited that Sunday morning we get up to worship. Worship is retelling the gospel every Sunday. We did that this morning in our singing. We talked about God and how good he is and how he has saved us. We've talked about Jesus and his sacrifice that he has made. Every Sunday when we come together, we're retelling the story of the gospel and just how grateful we are that God has been just so good to us. And I look at Malachi chapter 1, and all I can think about over and over this week was how I've asked God to bless my family and bless me and bless this and bless that. And surely I have time to come and worship him for all the good things that he has done for me. God is worthy of worship. I want to challenge you starting next week that when you come next Sunday, you come with the attitude. You get up that morning and you come with the attitude that I'm going to worship and I'm going for God, not for me. I'm going to go worship God and I'm going to give God everything that I can. And you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that it comes back to you and you're going to go, wow, it was good today. It was amazing today. Because we are most blessed when we take the spotlight and the want off of what I want for services and we just come with the idea of what does God want and I want to give that to him. And I want everything about your worship to change next week because you're focusing on him and not yourself. Let me give you a third point. This is Trey's tips and I think this is important. Number three, I want you to understand that Satan absolutely hates Sundays. And he will do anything in the world on Sunday mornings or even Saturdays to bring enough chaos in your life to keep you from wanting to get up on Sunday morning and worship God. Why would Satan not hate Sundays when the world, so much of the world stops and focuses on God and takes communion and confesses sin? Why would Satan not hate that? He is disgusted. disgusted by Sundays, and he will do everything to throw a kink into your chain, to mess things up. He doesn't like today. And you and I need to stop every now and then on Sunday morning and notice when things don't go right and you're a little bit frustrated with your kids or whatever it is, and you just need to stop because it's Sunday morning, you're going, why is this even worth it? And you need to go, Satan, not today. Not today. So I think what you ought to do is I think you ought to plan your Sunday mornings. And it would look something like this, because we plan tailgate parties, we plan birthday parties, we plan get-togethers, but oftentimes we don't plan anything on Sundays. Here's what you ought to do. On Saturday night, I'm serious about this, figure out Saturday night what everybody's wearing to church on Sunday morning. So that you don't get up on Sunday morning, stand in front of your closet and go, I have got nothing to wear. 42 outfits here, but I still got nothing to wear. If you get it all laid out, all you got to do is focus on putting it on in the morning. Lay out the shoes, because I promise you what's going to happen is your kids are going to come in, they're going to go, I can't find my other shoe that matches this outfit. And you're going to go, why are we even going? Lay out your clothes. Plan a breakfast. If you're a breakfast-eating family, make sure that there's cereal and milk and something to eat on Sunday morning. Don't get up on Sunday morning going, I've got nothing to feed the kids. It's just called being prepared. For us, and it's always been this rule, we don't do big things on Saturday nights because we have worship the next morning. We've always been that way. Sometimes people will go, hey, we're having an all-night party till midnight. That sounds great as long as it's not on Saturday night because we have worship in the morning. I love weddings. I love being a part of weddings. I love going to weddings. I love doing weddings. But I have people call sometimes and go, Trey, would you do our wedding? When is it? It's on Saturday, such and such date. What time is it? It's at 8 o'clock, 2 hours from where you live. And I go, I am so sorry. You're going to have to either make it earlier or find someone else, because I will not drag in at midnight on Saturday night. Because I don't want that to affect the worship that I give on Sunday morning. Can I also encourage you, please do not spend your Sundays on the way home complaining about the things you didn't like. In fact, if anything, especially if you have children around, you should be talking about looking for the things you did like. Because I can promise you, if the only thing you ever talk about is what you didn't like, they're going to pick up on that. And they're going to hear those things, and they're going to begin to notice things, well, I don't like that either. Have you ever noticed in life, you notice the things you focus on. And if you want to focus on what you don't like, you'll always find things you don't like, whatever it is. But if you focus on things you like, you'll find more things you like. I've told y'all before, and I'll tell you again, knew a lady one time, she didn't like anything. And she would tell you every week, here's the things I didn't like about the announcements, and I didn't like about the singing, and the things I didn't like about communion, and the things I didn't like about the sermon, and the things I didn't like. And then every now and then she'd go, and I don't know why my family won't come to church with me. And I'm like, why would they want to come join in your misery? You can't focus on all the things that you don't like and expect God's worship to be something that challenges you and encourages you. I want my children and my grandchildren to be successful in relationships, in school, in sports. All of those things were important to us, but not to the point that it messes up their relationship with God. Worship should be number one on their list. Because I can guarantee you, not all kids will get a scholarship to go to college because of educational reasons. Not all kids will get a scholarship to play sports somewhere, but all kids will stand before God someday. Parents, be intentional with your children. Everything should focus around, let's talk about Jesus. Sit down at the table at lunch today and go, what did you learn at church today? Focus on God. Focus on Jesus. Had a little girl named Aubrey that came into church one day. She was about 6. She and her family were new to church. And she said, I am so excited to be here. And I said, I'm so glad you're here, Aubrey. She said, come look at my shoes. Girls like shoes. I figured that out a long time ago when I married one. She said, look at my shoes. And they were the sparkliest, craziest, wildest shoes ever. And she said, these are my new shoes. and I wore them today for Jesus. And I said, I bet Jesus loves them. You see, what she had got up and put on was not about her. It was about, I wonder what Jesus likes today. And I thought, man, if I could just be more like that. Let me close with this. Fourth thing, you can't worship God with your mouth and not with your life. Jesus said in Matthew 15, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he actually says their worship is a farce. I don't want God saying, I don't want Jesus saying that my worship is a farce. It is not about me. So as I close, let me say a couple of things real quickly of encouragement to you. We have a lot of young families, a lot of young moms and young dads. Can I just say you are absolutely valuable. You training and teaching your children is so important. And I know some Sundays you come and you think to yourself, I am not going to get anything out of this at all because I'm going to be wrestling one kid or two kids or maybe just a busy kid. Can I just say, it's so worth it that you're here. And you may be thinking, my kids are loud and they're restless and they're rambunctious. Can I just remind you, this is where you need to be. And we are honored that you're here. Bring your kids because this is important. And parents, never, ever, ever withhold church activities ever for some kind of punishment, some kind of grounding that your kids have done. Kids are going to do things sometimes that you're going to go, why in the world they do that? I'm going to ground you from everything until the Lord comes back, you're grounded. But don't ever ground them from things that center around God. This is where they need to be. So, in conclusion, Bill Tracy's got a study in Ephesians on Sunday mornings, and can I throw up my Ephesians verse? You're going, why do we worship God? Because he's absolutely incredible to us. Think about how good he's been to us, and it's not because you've done anything. You don't deserve any of this. It is all about him and none about you. Notice what he's done for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every way with every spiritual blessing. Do you get what he's saying right there? You have been blessed, and he hadn't kept back part of it from you. He's given you all of it. He hadn't said, okay, you only get half of the blessings today. He's going, I'm going to give it all to you. And he doesn't just sprinkle it in your life. He dumps it in there. That's spiritual blessings. Notice the next place that I underline. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. You are loved and you are chosen. You are so blessed. Verse 5, you are adopted into his family. Do you get that? You're not a stepchild. You're not someone who's just been invited to eat at the table. You're one of the kids. That's a big deal. You get the inheritance and the blessing as well. Notice down here in verse 7. In his kindness, he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. He showed us kindness. God is so good to us, and he so deserves our worship. And let's not be like the people in Malachi who fail to see the gracious love of God poured out for them through all the things that God has done for them. And let's not give half-hearted sacrifices, half-hearted songs, half-hearted giving. Let's give God our best in everything we do. So I'm going to do something a little bit different as we conclude this morning. First, I want to say that in a second, we're soon as I pray, we're going to have an invitation song. And if you would like to come and ask for prayers, we'd be honored to pray for you this morning. You may need to pray where you're sitting this morning during the invitation song and just go, Lord, I need to do better at this. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian and confess him as Lord and be baptized. This is a great day to do that as well. We're going to do that in a minute following the prayer. But I want to take a second to do some confession because confession is a part of who we are, what we do. And so I'd like for you just to think for a second in some quiet time. Have you been giving God your best in worship or have you been making it all about what you like? Have you made it about you and what you get out of it? Well, it's about me and I want it to be good for me. Have you been letting Satan win the war on Sunday mornings. These are three things that I'd like for you to ask yourself. So if you will, let's stand together. We're going to have a moment of silence for you to think about this and maybe talk to God about this. And then I'll pray. And at the end of our prayer, we'll sing together. So if you will, bow your head with me and let's have a moment, just a moment to think. Father, this morning, we're reminded that worship is not about us and all about you. We realize, Father, it is you that we want to please. And as we examine the worship in our life, we find that sometimes we are lacking, that we offer half-hearted sacrifices, that we oftentimes don't think about the songs, that we don't give back what you've given to us. We want to be people that give our first fruits, the best of what we've got. Father, we want to worship you, not family or sports or hobbies or anything else. Thank you for being so good to us. Please, Father, help us to see Satan's schemes when it comes to worshiping you. And may we be people who worship, not with our mouth, but with our life, in our actions. Thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you for their patience this morning. Thank you, Father, for our challenge of confessing to you that we want to do better. As we study worship the next few weeks, Father, challenge us, encourage us, strengthen us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you need to respond this morning, we encourage you to come as we sing this song.